The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. Have you had your heart checked lately? Now, I don't mean have you seen your cardiologist in recent weeks or been to the lab for blood work or gone through the rigors of a stress test or kept a daily watch on blood pressure, though surely all those things are oftentimes essential for maintaining our physical health. But I mean in a spiritual way. Have you had your heart checked lately? Have you sat down with your Savior and assessed how well you're living out the love he has called you to do? Have you let the great physician take a look inside? What would the final report reveal? How healthy a disciple are you? I sat one weekend with family at a funeral for my brother's brother-in-law, Art. The Mass was held at Queen of Peace Roman Catholic Church in West Milford, where the priest, Father Bill, an older man of Irish background, impressed me with his warmth and his seeming deep sense of compassion. "You know," said Father Bill, "the way I was taught as a child years ago, I used to picture that after our death, we would stand before this huge throne where God, the great and awesome judge, would be seated, ready to pronounce the verdict on our lives. And there in his hands, he would be holding this great big book that recorded every deed we had ever done. Then God would carefully look at the book and survey its pages to see which weighed greater, our good deeds or our bad. And I was sure," said Father Bill, "that when he looked at my record, the good deeds would run out after a couple of pages, but the bad deeds would go on page after page after page. But now that I have grown older," he said, "I don't think it will be that way at all. When we stand before God," said Father Bill, "I don't think he's going to ask how many rosaries we've said, how many Hail Marys we've prayed, how many Sundays we've come to Mass. I think rather that God will ask us but one question: was your heart like the heart of my son?" Was your heart like the heart of Jesus? I sat listening to Father Bill's sermon, knowing that our Lutheran theology would not be completely in accord. It is, we would say, the heart of Jesus alone and not our own that opens the door to heaven. In no way our worthiness, in always his grace. But that aside, I felt a deep appreciation for Father Bill's words, that he was, I believe, right on target for one of the most important questions in this life. Is our heart like the heart of Jesus? Is our heart like the heart of God's Son? Sometimes it is hardest to have the heart of Jesus with those who are nearest and dearest, those under the same roof. The people we are drawn to and love are at other times the people we just can't stand. So mix the emotions that in the language of signing, I love you becomes I hate you by the raising of just one finger. There was little heart or love shared by one couple living on the West Coast. Banks, of course, have long printed checks in a wide spectrum of colors. Some have offered checks with floral and scenic backgrounds. The modest-sized bank in Marin County, California, has gone one step further. A customer can simply bring in a personal photograph or drawing and have it printed onto a standard check form. But perhaps the most imaginative and vindictive customer is the one who ordered special checks to be used solely for making his alimony payments. They show him kissing his new and beautiful wife. Unkindness within households, of course, is not simply limited to spouse and spouse. A third grade Sunday school teacher was giving a Bible lesson on the commandment, honor thy father and mother. Now, does anyone know a commandment for brothers and sisters? The teacher asked. One particularly perceptive child raised her hand and confidently responded, thou shalt not kill. Pastor Charles Swindoll tells of a time when he needed to remind himself of the same commandment. Several years ago, he writes, I drove my car into a busy shopping center and there was a small parking space, just big enough for the compact car I was driving. I knew it would be a tight squeeze, but parking spaces were scarce. My son, who was then small, was with me. He slipped out of his side of the car with no problem, but I very gingerly pulled myself out and in the process bumped the car next to me a little. I wiped off the side of the car to make sure it was okay. There wasn't a mark on it. When I came up from that maneuver, the man inside his car wasn't smiling. I smiled and said, I'm sorry, but there's been no damage. He still wasn't smiling. So I closed the door, and my boy and I started walking into the grocery store. Something told me to turn around and look. Something was going to happen to my car. Sure enough, when I turned around, he was already going around his car, and he opened the back door of his car, and he went smash, smash into my fender. My first reaction, writes Swindoll, was to separate his head from his body. That was my first reaction. But I thought, man, what a scandal this would create. Pastor kills man in parking lot. Then again, he was bigger than I was, says Swindoll. And I thought, how much worse to read man kills pastor in parking lot. So I didn't do anything. Then again, says Swindoll, I did do something. I applied patience, a rare virtue in my life, and walked away. You see, writes Swindoll, it is possible to choose the humane response. It is possible to act the adult when another acts the child. Not always easy to love others as he first loved us. Not always easy to love with the heart of Jesus. Sally took a seminary class taught by Professor Smith, who is known for his object lessons. One day, Sally walked into class to find a large target placed on the wall and several darts on a nearby table. Professor Smith told the students to draw a picture of someone they disliked or who had made them angry, then they could throw darts at the person's picture. Sally's friend drew a picture of a woman who had stolen her boyfriend. Another friend drew a picture of his younger brother. Sally drew a picture of her stepdad, with whom she never got along, even drew the pimples on his face. She was quite pleased with her effort. The class lined up and began throwing darts. Some students threw with such force that they ripped apart their targets. But before Sally had a turn, Professor Smith asked the students to return to their seats so he could begin his lecture. As Sally fumed, the professor began removing the target from the wall. Underneath it was a picture of Jesus. A hush fell over the room as students saw the mangled image of their Savior with holes and jagged marks covering his face. His eyes were virtually pierced out. Professor Smith said only these words, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brothers and sisters, you have done it unto me." Holocaust, racism, warfare, endless killings and shootings on our nation's streets, domestic violence, physical and verbal abuse, how we have torn at the Savior's heart. From the blood of Abel spilled by his brother Cain in the first chapters of Genesis to the dark headlines of our own day, to our personal unkindnesses toward others, "They have eyes," said Jesus, "but they do not see." Well could he have added, "They have hearts, but they do not feel." But some do. Sometimes as dramatically as a Mother Teresa, yielding all earthly possessions to reach out to those in abject poverty, embracing those scarred and deformed from disease. Sometimes as quietly as a young scout collecting canned good items for the South Jersey Food Bank, or a volunteer with hammer in hand ready to help Habitat for Humanity provide a new home for a deserving family, or a neighbor checking in on another neighbor who is up in years and without family nearby. And I have always kept this clown nose as a remembrance of my interim ministry at Ascension Lutheran Church in Haddon Heights. It was given to me by a man from the congregation who died during my year there, George Edwards, a Lutheran man with a big heart, who began clown ministries throughout South Jersey hospitals, bringing hope, cheer, and laughter to those in need of a smile, loving others with the heart of Jesus. Sometimes those who need the Savior's love and our own are those we would least expect. Her name was Mrs. Ehrenberg, and though her house faced the next street, the back of her property stretched out to Beacon Street, across the way from my parents' home in Harworth, there in North Jersey. Her name was Mrs. Ehrenberg, but growing up, all the kids on the block would call her other names, Poochie Woochie, Gravel Gertie, the Old Witch. She had, in fact, earned the reputation. No trespassing signs guarded the edges of her property. Whenever the kids played ball on Beacon Street, sooner or later she would appear, wielding a branch in her hands, chasing us angrily away. "Get out of here," she would holler. "You're making my dog nervous," which was quite an accusation in itself, considering that her dog shared her less than pleasant disposition and usually made us nervous. They both knew how to growl. Usually we'd run when she'd chase us, but not before throwing a few pebbles in her direction in defiance and calling her a few names. She was, through all the years of my childhood, the nasty, ill-tempered grouch, cloaked in mystery, ready to pounce when you would least suspect, the favorite target for mischief night pranksters, our neighborhood's very own Darth Vader, to the kids on Beacon Street, public enemy number one. Then it was, somewhere I suppose, in my junior year of high school, that my friend Max, who lived on the other side of town, told me he had gotten a job raking leaves for someone who lived close to my home. "Maybe you've heard of her," Max said. "Her name is Mrs. Ehrenberg." "Mrs. Ehrenberg," I exclaimed, "the old witch? Are you serious?" I shared all the horror stories with Max, but he insisted a job was a job. Moreover, if I could lend him a hand, he would share some of the profits. Me? invade Poochie Woochie's off-limits property with her attack dog lurking in the shadows? I thought he had lost his senses. But sure enough, I finally conceded, and one fall day, I stepped over what seemed then the iron curtain into Poochie Woochie's yard, and discovering to my surprise that no sirens were sounding, I took rake in hand and started to work. After a half hour or so of raking, Poochie Woochie called Max and I over and asked if we might like some milk and cookies. Oh my gosh, I gasped to myself, poison. I was sure of it. I tried to catch Max's eye, tried to motion him to say no, but Max had already said, sure, we'll take some cookies. The next moments seemed to me beyond comprehension. They even now in memory seem suspended in time. For to my disbelief, Poochie Woochie sat with us on her back steps and just talked and talked. This monster of a lady, or so she had seemed, who had caused us to tremble, who had struck fear in our very hearts, now just sat there going on and on, talking about this, talking about that. And I sat there stunned, except for an occasional bite of a cookie, which I hated to admit tasted pretty good. It was soon clear she wanted less someone to rake leaves than just someone to talk to. This woman who in our young eyes had once terrified the neighborhood turned out to be just a lonely old lady who had spent a lifetime putting no trespassing signs around her heart. Afraid to let anyone in, a scarecrow of sorts, meant to frighten but stuffed with only the straw of her hurting life. Sometimes people don't make it easy to help them or love them. Afraid to risk being hurt even more, they put no trespassing signs around their lives and harden their hearts. Sometimes we try to keep God out too. We're afraid he wouldn't really love us or really forgive us if he knew us through and through, and we're not sure we want him tampering with our lives or telling us what to do, so we keep him at a safe distance. No trespassing, Lord, this means you. But the only way God can really help us, of course, is when we let him inside, when we open the door, when we invite him to make our hurting hearts his home. Her name was Mrs. Ehrenberg, and that fall afternoon, a small miracle took place. When no trespassing signs began to tumble, and a lonely old woman opened the doors to her home and heart. I left her house that day, not quite the same myself. I never called her Poochie Woochie again. A new commandment I give you, said Jesus, that you love one another as I have loved you. May God place deep within our lives the loving heart of his Son. Amen. Our service